Not what he says. Okay, guys. Thank you, Pastor, so much for the opportunity to be able to just be able to get up here and preach. I am thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that I've had the opportunity to be able to share our ministry that we're going to be a part of. Tonight we're going to be in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to be reading down to verse 9. The former treaties have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of those things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, he saith, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you so much for just allowing me to be able to preach. Lord, I thank you just for your goodness and the mercy and grace that you've showed. Lord, I pray that you forgive me of my pride, my arrogance, and my selfishness. And Lord, that you will empty me of these things and fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you also fill this congregation with your Spirit, so Lord, that they will be able to hear the things that you would have them to take away from this message. Lord, just bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so when I was in Suriname, I had the great opportunity to be able to meet a lady, Louise Champlin. She was the original missionaries, Daryl Champlin, to Suriname. She was his wife. She just turned 90 years old this year. She is still in Suriname. She is still serving God. She is teaching a Sunday school class still in Suriname. She is translating things from English over to Sonanantongo because there is not any materials in that language for the people to be able to have resources and stuff to be able to study. So that's part of her ministry as well. And she's 90 years old. Man, that's a big encouragement to me that, you know, even when I get to an older age, that there are still ways that I can serve God. And but something that she told me, and it has really stuck with me, and it was, it is better to be than to do. There was also a little message that she kind of gave me that kind of went along with that. But she has spent most of her life on the mission field. Part of her life was with her parents in the jungles of the Congo. And then after she got married, she then went to the jungles with her husband later to Suriname. So she has definitely been on the mission field for the majority of her life. And this is just some advice that she wanted to give me, was it is better to be than to do. I want you to think about that as we go through this message. It is better to be than to do. There's a lot of good truth in that statement, and we will touch back on that. But here, and we're going to be in verse 8 this entire evening. But ye shall receive power. Jesus Christ is telling his disciples what they will that they will receive power. But what is this power? Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, it tells us what this power is. This power is what this power is for. This power is for to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, that is what the power that Jesus is promising his disciples, the power that he is promising to us, that is what it's for. But what does the Bible say about God's power? Let's look at some verses. We have in Psalm 147, verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 says, "He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12 says, "He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion." And Jeremiah 27, verse 5. Now, before I read this passage, I want to tell you, this is God's message. So what I'm getting ready to read is literally God's words, all right? And they are God's message to kings, to people that are in power, to political leaders. All right? So this is God's message to kings. It says, "I," this is God speaking, "I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground. By my great power and by outstretched arm have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me." He's talking about their thrones. He's talking about their positions. All right. So God, he's like, "I'm the one that has put you in a place. I am the one that has allowed you to be in power." That is something that's really good for us to think, as you know, we have through elections and through the political leaders that we have, right? God has put them in power. God has never been taken off, has been taken by surprise. Everyone that is in the office, in the presidency, same thing down in Suriname, God has put them there. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Suriname. In Suriname, the president there, it was a former dictator. They have elected him back into power. And he was an international criminal. He is wanted in every country in the world except for three: Cuba, Russia, and Switzerland. Right? We have one of his sons in prison up in New York City. He has lots of connections with the drug cartel. Most businesses in Suriname have been started by drugs. They have some sort of ties with drugs. I can probably count on one hand the amount of honest businesses that are in Suriname that have no dealings with drugs. But God, none of this has caught God by surprise. God knows what he's doing. God has allowed him to be in power. And there's an election that is coming up, both for us and for Suriname. And I pray that, one, we will pray about this, and that there are could be so many open doors that could be going on here in Suriname, that could be taking place in Suriname. But God, he's in power. God knows what he's doing. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." And you know, and the list of verses could go on and on. But I'll stop with just one more verse about the power of God. Over in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power belongs to Jesus Christ. And he says that he will be with us. There is nothing that is too hard for us if this is something that God wants us to do. Psalm 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Here in verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." After the Holy Ghost dwells inside you, that is the power. The power is none other than God himself. This power is not yours, it is his. Any ministry or spiritual success that you will have is not yours, it's God's. He gave the power for it to happen. The Holy Spirit indwells you at the moment of salvation. We receive this power when we get saved. The Holy Spirit does so much more than just giving us power. All right? Oh, this power, this is a very important thing because it allows us, it enables us to be able to do things that we ourselves cannot. All right? But there are so many cults that are out there, so many other religions out there that are focused on the power of God. But where the power comes from is the Holy Spirit. But you know what? He does so much more than just giving us power, though. He comforts us. He guides us into all truth. He regenerates us. He sanctifies us. He seals us. He teaches us. He fills us. And he glorifies Christ. If you want to know if you are filled with the Spirit, it is where. What are you glorifying? All right, Jesus. So the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. It only glorifies Christ. The Holy Spirit will not glorify himself. The Holy Spirit will not glorify you. The Holy Spirit will not allow me to glorify me. He will not allow me to glorify someone else. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. If you're giving glory to something other than Jesus Christ, I can definitely say you are not filled with the Spirit. That is a good indicator if you are filled with the Spirit. What are you glorifying? With all that the Holy Ghost does, how is it possible that we can fail? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about all the things that God has set up for us? He has given us his word. He has allowed us to be able to pray. He has, and the Holy Spirit, all that he does for us. How is it that we fail? If we listen and obey the Spirit of God, we cannot fail. We fail when we follow after the lusts of the flesh. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." You know, following after or serving the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, that will silence the Holy Spirit's voice. It's just one of these will keep us from having the power of God in our life. Galatians 5:16 says, "For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." You know, I was saved when I was 10 years old. I did not have anybody in my family at that time to tell me, teach me, or to show me how to be a Christian. Right, because really the last person that was a Christian in my family was my grandfather. And it took my grandfather's death to show me the reality of death and hell. And it was after that, his death, I accepted Christ as my Savior. So, and I didn't actually get into church until I was 18. So there was 8 years that I had no one to tell me, teach me, or show me how to be a Christian. And because it was 8 years, I didn't have a church to guide me or to help me in any way. But something in the 8 years was directing me and placing a desire in me to read my Bible. I would make a decision that I would read my Bible. I was like, okay, I'm going to read a couple chapters a day. And that would only last for about 2 or 3 days. And I would forget about me making this decision, forget about reading my Bible. And then 4 to 6 months later, they would pass, and I would have that same urge, that same desire, that I need to read my Bible. And I would get in my Bible, and I would do good for another 2 or 3 more days, reading a couple chapters, and then I would forget about it. And that cycle would repeat over and over for the next 8 years. So I read Matthew chapter 1 through 5 a lot in those 8 years. What was that? That was the Holy Spirit's still small voice guiding me in all truth. If, as a 10-year-old boy, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, God is still speaking to me today. I hope that we listen to this. You know, we get into the Word of God. You know, this is something that really something that bothers me, is that, you know, I read my Bible. I try to read my Bible every day, and when I get in my Bible, I'm hoping God will speak to me. God will show me something, because God works through His Word. Be not deceived. God does not work. God does not use the crazy divination out there. All right, and you try to use your life circumstances. God can. But God uses His Word. He speaks through His Word. And so as I'm in His Word, and I'm reading it, and I'm wanting God to speak to me, I'm wanting to draw closer to God, and I'll admit, there are days that that desire is not there. There are days that I didn't hear God speak to me. And then I would look back at that, and that scares me. I'm drifting away from God. You know, the safest place for a Christian to be is in the will of God. When you're drifting away from God, you're obviously not in the will of God. Has there ever been a time that you read your Bible and you just did not hear God speak? Did that bother you? It bothers me. But God, He is faithful. He will guide and direct us. And if we listen and obey, we can walk in the power of the Spirit. We can overcome the flesh and be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not getting more of the Spirit. It is getting, is the Spirit getting more of you. You know, I know that is something that we've all heard. We've all heard this several times about it's not about getting more of the Spirit. It's about the Spirit getting more of us. But, you know, the longer that I've lived this Christian life, the closer that I get to Christ, the more and more I find out that's the case. It really is. It is us just surrendering to the Spirit, doing the will of God. Acts, back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, looking back at that, it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." So way too many people, way too many cults, way too many different churches are searching and struggling for this power of God. They want God's power, but they don't want to do God's work. God's power is for God's work. It is God's will for all believers to be His witness. Look with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 10. This is the purpose of Christ. This is Christ speaking. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Everything in Christ's ministry had to do with seeking and saving the lost. Him dying on the cross was for saving the lost. And He is still seeking. All right, so that is what it is. And over in John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So there's only two kinds of Christians in this world. We have soul winners and we have backsliders. We have obedient and we have disobedient. We have those that are for Christ, and we have those that are against Christ. We have those that are gatherers, and we have those that are scatterers. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Matthew 12, verse 30. The Bible says, "He that is," and this is Jesus speaking, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." So we get this thought process, right? Is that, well, you know, we talk about, I don't know, what is this word? Pew warmers, right? We've used that word. We all know what that means, right? We talk about the Christians that just come to church, sit down for a service, listen to the message, they get up and leave, and they follow that same routine. They never get really interested into the ministry, interested in the things that God wants, okay? So for the record, there's the pastor and the staff are not the only ones that are supposed to be reaching the lost, supposed to be preaching the gospel, supposed to be telling people how they can go to heaven. They're not the only ones. Actually, if you're a Christian tonight, it's your job. That is the purpose. The Christians would have already have evangelized the world if every Christian was telling the gospel to everyone. The entire world would have already been evangelized by now. But Jesus here says that let me just turn back to that, Matthew 12, 30. It says that he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So if you're not gathering with Jesus, if you're just not, honestly, you're not really doing anything, you're not trying to preach the gospel, you're not evangelizing, you are scattering. Just because you're not really involved, you're not doing something, you're hurting the cause of Christ. You're not getting out of the way for others. You're hurting the cause of Christ. You are scattering. You're causing more damage. And in Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus also says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. The message should always be centered on Christ. Not on the Spirit, not the church, not some doctrine, not even our own testimony is to be the center of our message. And over in John chapter 12, verse 32, it says, when Jesus speaking, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. If we're lifting up Jesus Christ, he will draw men. He will work in their hearts, and they will have the opportunity and chance to be able to get saved. See, it's not us. It's not our testimony. It's not our own doings, all right? Any success that we get, it is because of Jesus Christ. If we are able to win someone to the Lord, it is because Jesus Christ was working in their heart. We just get to be an instrument used of God and be able to glorify him. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. Jesus said here also in verse 8, ye shall be witnesses. Jesus did not say, I want you to go and witness, but to be witnesses. A witness is someone who has a firsthand experience for someone to have a firsthand experience of Jesus is to be born again and to see all the great things that Christ has done for us and all that he supplies for us. The job of a witness is to give the facts. So if they're supposed to have the firsthand knowledge of Jesus Christ, so salvation, and then the things that Jesus Christ does in us, through us, and for us, and then we're supposed to give the facts. Maybe that's the reason why we're not seeing people out there. Why we're not evangelizing. Why we're not telling the lost about Jesus Christ. Because he hasn't really done anything in our lives. We haven't allowed Jesus Christ to work in us. We haven't allowed Jesus Christ to work through us. We haven't got to really see the greatness of God. We don't really have that firsthand experience. But when someone looks at us, do they see the facts? Has Jesus Christ worked in our lives? Are we something that portrays being a Christian? Because originally, most of you probably know this, that the word Christian was not a good term originally. It was kind of a mocking term. Because, you're like that Christ-like. Have you ever been accused of that? Ever been accused of being a Christian? Do they see someone who lives, acts, and talks like someone who has been saved from a devil's hell? Someone who has a home in heaven? Someone who has been reconciled to God and now can have fellowship with Him? Are we even fellowshipping with God? I'm telling you what, if you start fellowshipping with God, you're going to have a whole new demeanor. You're going to have a whole new personality because you're fellowshipping with God. Jesus Christ, not only the idea of God, all right, but a God that loves us, and He died for us, just so He can have a relationship with us, right? God died so He could have a relationship with you. One of the bonuses of being able to have a relationship with God is that we got heaven too, but even if I didn't get heaven, I get to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that has been the best thing that has ever happened in my life. If we will be witnesses in all areas of our lives, then witnessing will just happen because it's who you are. Every part of you, the way you act, the way you talk, will just witness Jesus Christ. You know, if you try to be pleasing to God, then you don't have to work at obeying His commandments. You will obey Him by default. Man, you know, I love my wife. So that I have that desire to do things to make my wife happy. If you love God, you have that desire to make God happy and pleasing. And so obeying His commandments, those make Him happy. Done out of your heart. Not for glory of, oh, look at me. But by default of just loving Him, obeying Him will be easy. Doing the things that God wants us to do will be easy. If we love God, obeying Him is joyful, not grievous. Over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not hard once you love God. So that's how I want to end, is that it is better to be than to do. Be a witness. Don't just do it. Be a Christian. Just don't do the Christian life. Be a Christian. Because once you become that, it is so much easier. You don't have to fight it. You don't have to struggle with it. The Christian life just becomes so much easier. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much for just this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that You just help us to just focus on You. Help us, Lord, to love You the way we ought to.